We're gonna start. We did Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, or by Pasuk Yud Ches. We mentioned last year that Orpah had a tremendous Yerida when she turned away. She was on the verge of becoming a Bas Yisrael. She was on the verge of hooking up to eternity, and she fell. So I researched the Medrash. It's not a Gemara. I mean, there was a Gemara in Saita which was similar, but this is a Medrash that says that the night that she turned away from Nami and she fell hard, she had relations with 100 men.
Orpah
had relations with, no, I know, we did say 300, but I was mistaken. She had relations with 100 men and one dog.
What pasuk is this?
Well, the pasuk that I'm referring to.
Which medrash is this?
Is pasuk Yudalad. Medrash Rabba.
Okay. Are you able to tell me now if this is on the test? Because I'm going to have to make a...
It's on God's test.
But is it on your test?
Huh.
Can you tell me that?
It's a Medrash Rabba, Rus Rabba, Parsha Beis, Pisgah Chof.
1 second. Rus Rabba.
Parsha Beis.
Parsha Beis.
Pisgah Chof. Taisus brings it down on Mesechah Saita, Dachman Beis and Beis. Rus
Rabba.
Pisgah Chof. Tosos. What Mesechah?
Mesechah Saita. 42b.
Thank you.
In Sefer Shmuel.
What pasuk?
In Sefer Shmuel, the Torah relates how Shaul said he would give his daughter in matrimony to anyone that would bring him 100 foreskins of plishtim. David HaMelech brought him 100 foreskins of plishtim, and he met. That was later.
That was later.
Or earlier. Either, I'm not sure. You know, but this was to be Makadosh Shaul's daughter. And these 100 foreskins came from these plishtim that had relations with Orpah.
I'm sorry. They're still alive?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Orpah was still alive, so why not? I mean, Orpah lived for a very long time.
Can you say that end part again?
Shaul promised to give his daughter in marriage to anyone that would bring him 100 foreskins.
Yeah.
From plishtim, 100 orlas. And David HaMelech, in order to do that, you have to kill them first. David killed them, brought the Arlas to Shaul, and he married Shaul's daughter. And these 100 Arlas were from the 100 men that had relations with Orpah. We're not going to delve into this. There's a lot of significance. We're not going to be able to do that at this time. And the Gemara tells us that there's a big machlokes hapaiskim between Shaul and David, whether David HaMelech was actually Mekadosh Shaul's daughter with the Arlas of Plishtim, which is not with a Pruta, or that was just like a condition, but he was actually Mekadosh with something else.
What's the Nafgamina?
Whether he's married to her or not. So Shaul held that David never married her because he was Mekadosh with a Pachas Meshav Pruta. And David said that wasn't the Chef to the Kedushim. Pasuk Yud Ches.
Wow.
Imagine 100 Arlas aren't even worth
Meshav Pruta. It's not worth Meshav Pruta.
Oh,
yes. Vatera and Nami saw. Nami saw ki mitzametas. Nami saw the Rus was very powerful. She was strong. Chazakli ametz. Ametz means amatzio. Nami saw the Rus was very strong. He lelechas ita. She wants to go with her. Vatechta ledabre elan. She stopped. She stopped pushing her off. She stopped rejecting her. And the Gemara and Yevamos learns out from here that you push away a potential ger 3 times, but if they persisted, then you stop.
Another question.
Yes. You don't overdo it. You don't overdo it. You push them away, you push them away, you push them away, and that's it. You don't overdo it. You don't look at them under a microscope. They really want it. You go right to the next step. As soon as Nami saw the Rus was powerful, she was strong, and she stopped trying to talk her out of it. So we learn this from the Gemara, and this is another basis that Rus was undergoing a conversion process right now.
Very new process.
Right. Ramosha David Vali explains the word misametus. So, it's the way the world is when somebody exhibits a display of strength. So then, you know, right away, power, strength. Right away, initially, you know, it's a tremendous show of strength, and it's very difficult to sustain. Everyone knows, you know, about, if I know anything about horse racing, you know that the horse that shoots out of the gate first in a brilliant burst of speed will not win. It's the one that hangs behind, conserves his energy. You know, a smart jockey knows this. Bear this in mind. And then, you know, when you come to the home stretch, and then he spurs the horse onwards. And Ramosha David Wally said the word misametzes means strength, but it means that she kept on getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, she started out strong. Rus. She started out strong, and her strength just kept on exponentially increasing, which is shalika derech hateva. That's not derech hateva. I mean, you know, also something that's about the KF, you have every blown shayfi, you know this. You start out with a very strong sound, at the end of it, it gets very, very loud.
Hashem's voice got louder when he gave the...
Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice is like this.
So what does it use to describe it over there?
Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's easy because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get tired. So, but the Rus is that. But Rus is emulating this. Yes, she's putting in superhuman kaikos.
Strong, and then you can be, have your highest level of strongest, like, you know, so not like starting off at full strength.
There's a commentary called Zos Nechamasi. This is my comfort. It was written by Rav Shlomo Yanovsky.
1 second.
He lived in Warsaw in the night in the
Shlomo
Yanovsky. He lived in Warsaw in the 1900s, early 1900s. And he also had something to say on the word misametzes, power, strength. Said it was not easy for Nami to be Megaya Rus. There's a lot of obstacles that she'd have to overcome. For Nami to bring Rus back and hook up her fortune with her and get her accepted, you know, Nami would have to be convinced that it's the right thing to do in order to invest such effort. It would take a tremendous amount of strength on Nami's part. When Nami saw that Rus was putting in the effort, that Rus was exhibiting such power, since she saw that as a sign that she in turn, Nami in turn, would have to invest
more power.
Matching power. It's like matching grants. Matching power in order to be Megaya her. And she has to, you know, she has to go out of her way and put in tremendous...
Nami would.
Nami, right. So misametzes is that she, that was the sign that Nami saw that Rus deserved this, and this is the way it has to be.
What did she know, brother? What did Nami know that the halacha was that she was converted?
There was not a single person in Amun Amaya that had ever tried to convert until then. And the halacha that you could convert wasn't well known. It was never brought to din because it wasn't relevant. Uh-huh. It's one of those things that got, it slipped through the cracks. I mean, they could have had a machlokes about it in theory, but it just didn't happen. They never convened the Bezdin on it. And it wasn't relevant. No one from Amun Amaya ever wanted to come. You know, if you have a country club and you want to vote whether you allow in certain undesirables, you don't need to meet on it unless someone tries to join. There never was a convert from Amun Amaya until the time of Rus. She was the first. Pasuk Yates. Let's go on to Pasuk Yates. But they locked the stam, so they both went. Ad Bayana Beis Lachem, they came to Bethlehem, Beis Lachem. Vayikah Bayana Beis Lachem, and it was as they came to Beis Lachem, Batehem Kolayir. Everyone was astounded. No reaction, like open mouthed astonishment. Aleihem, and they gathered around them. Batemarna, and they said, with one voice, Azais Nami, is this Nami? Is this Nami? How could this be Nami? How could it be? This is Nami. And she's so poor.
She looked different.
She looked different, she looked bitter, and she was unaccompanied. She had no entourage.
She missed the introduction.
She had
normally have an entourage?
Yeah, she was a very wealthy woman. She had no entourage. I mean, Elimelech was faulted for deserting the Jewish people in the time of need because he could have supported the entire populace. That's big stuff. All right, so the pasuk says that they both went, Shteyem. Now is this, we're in the Pesugah Sriyas Omer, we're in the Parsha Sriyas Omer, we know one or two, we know a couple things about numbers. That numbers, the significance of numbers, that enables you to put two separate things together.
Who's that?
I'm saying this. You have one pen on the table, and then you have another pen on the table. There's no connection between the two pens. It's one pen and one pen. Each one is one of them. But if someone says, how many pens do you have on the table? You say, I have two pens. So number two joined the pens together. They're no longer one pen and one pen. They are two pens. So when it says Shteyem, there's a significance there. Rav Moshe David Vali. Says that the pasuk says that they both went because their heart was together as one, and their heart is directed towards their Father in heaven. Mavien Shabashamayim. Continuing with the words of Rav Moshe David Vali. The entire city saw Rus and Nami come in. Doesn't it sound exceptional to you that the entire city should see two bedraggled travelers entering a city? Is that something which is common? You know, every time someone comes into the city, every time someone comes into Har Nof, do I see it?
Well, if someone comes, like, everyone like, what, Nomi?
Then there would have to be more stages to this.
Oh.
So, you know, one person would have seen it, they would have called everyone and said, but Tam Kaliers, they all came. There's a medrash.
Most of the valid brings this medrash?
No, there's a medrash.
Oh, this is not connected with what you were just saying?
This is a new thing. There's a medrash. There are two views in the medrash. Why the entire city was there. There are two views in the Medrash why they were there. I mean, Rav Moshe David Vali brings the Medrash, and we'll say, you know, we'll quote his words on the Medrash. They came in on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. That's when they came. What was done the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach every year? They harvested the Omer. They harvested the barley for the Omer. There's a carbon that's brought from barley. It's barley which is harvested on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is the second day of Pesach, and then they brought it as a carbon. So the entire city used to go out to the outskirts where the barley fields were and harvest it. It was a mitzvah. And at that exact moment that they were all congregated there, that's when Rus and Nami came in. So you see that there's a connection between Rus and Nami and the Karban Omer. And that's a fact. You know, the Karban Omer, we count from the Karban Omer until Shavuos, and Shavuos is the birthday and yard site of David HaMelech. So there is a correlation between Rus and Nami and Omer. And we're not going to go into it right now. Time doesn't allow it. The other view in the Medrash, that the entire city was assembled there to pay respects, to pay their last respects to the wife of Boaz. It was on that very day that she died. The day that Rus came in was the day that Boaz's wife went out. And they all went to the funeral. And the funeral procession took them towards the outskirts of the city. And that's when Rus and Nami came in. The Alshich shows us a remez in the word Vateheim. Vateheim is spelled Vav, Taf, Hey, Mem, Sofis. Vateheim.
Vav.
Vav, Taf, Hey, Mem, Sofis. And if you switch around the letters, it spells the word Hamavis. Hamavis is the death of Boaz's wife.
Do you know when they left for Eretz-Yisrael? Like, what day?
I don't know how long it takes.
Oh, it wasn't Boaz's death? Was Boaz's wife death?
Boaz's wife died. Right. Boaz's wife died.
Ah.
Vateheim Hamavis. It's gone to Pasukhov. Vateheim Alein. So Naomi replied to them. Al Tikrenali Naomi, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant One. Naomi was Pleasant One. Krenali Mara. Call me Bitter One. Kihemar Shaddai Lim Oid. The shame of God, the name of God, Shaddai, caused me intense bitterness. So my name should be changed. But Moshe David Vali, He is puzzled by this. He said it would be understandable that he'd call her not Mara, that he'd change her name to Mara while she's back in Mayav. And she's in Mayav, and her husband died, and her children died, and she lost everything. And she's away from Eretz Yisrael, so you could comprehend why she would undergo a name change. She's coming back now. She's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. She's coming back to the Kedusha. She's coming back to the special relationship that one enjoys with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. If anything, her circumstances have improved. I mean, she underwent great hardship, and her children are not coming back to her, and her husband's not coming back. But why is this the point? Why is this the point in time when she feels it's appropriate to change her name? If she's going to change her name, she should have changed it back there, not here. Very strange. He answers, she's not suggesting that they change her name because she's entering a state of depression and she can't live with herself anymore and she can't stand the incongruence of being known by such a nice name, and it's so bitter for her. She's not kvetching. Let's put it that way. She's not kvetching. She's trying to improve her circumstances. As long as she's known as Naomi, Pleasant One, some people won't descend to the depths of understanding what she went through. And she wants them to daven for her. And she needs divine assistance to be zeichet to get kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. You can have people coming to Eretz Yisrael that they don't connect with Eretz Yisrael. They're here, but they're the bodies could be in Eretz Yisrael, but the person, the mind, could be elsewhere. She doesn't want to just be geographically within Eretz Yisrael. She wants to come back. She wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to recognize that she's doing tshuva. Hashem should accept her tshuva, and Hashem should have a relationship with her. And for that, you need tzchusim, and you need tefillis. So she told them that they should call her Mara, because being called Mara is an acknowledgement that without the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, without the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is bitter. And she has to start taking baby steps. You know, she has to start her way back. And her way of doing that is being known as Mara, so that she will arouse their compassion and their good wishes and tefillah.
Is this like changing the name, change the Muslim, so to say?
Okay. Yeah, this is a tefillah aid.
So she
that's why she picked this moment to change her name. She wasn't doing it out of brokenheartedness, out of depression. It was a tool. It was a methodology. She had a plan to get back. But the only way to get back is with help. And people have to know you need the help. If somebody's going through a hard time, if there's an illness, so then at a certain stage you tell people so that they could daven. Now, I remember I was once in the hospital with meningitis. I was really sick. It's the sickest I was ever in my life. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Reifu Chaylim. But that was really bad. And my family didn't want to tell my mother. My mother lived in America then. My family didn't want to tell my mother because what does she have to, you know. God willing, I'll get better and she'll never have to know about it. Why does she have to worry? And when it wasn't a 1-2 day thing, I mean, I was in the hospital for an entire week. So I said, you have to tell her. Because without the mama's tefillahs, how am I supposed to get better? At a certain point, you have to tell. Which teaches us a lesson that if we ever do find out about people's tzaras, you know, let's say somebody's trying to cover something up, and we end up finding out. So, min haShamayim, Hashem allowed us to find out because He wants us to daven. You know, the first reaction when you hear tzaras is not Oy Gevalt, it's Lamatzeach Mizmor David. You see an ambulance rushing through the streets here in Eretz Yisrael. Chances are it's a Yid. Say a parak of Tillim every time you see an ambulance rushing through the streets with the lights going and the siren. Say a parak of Tillim. So there you see from here the Indian of being Medea the Rabbim, so that they should be Mispala. The Alshich has another understanding of why she wants to be called Mara. It's Kula L'Shem Shamayim. If her name remains Nami, Nami means not just that she's a pleasant person, Nami means she is pleasant of actions. That means her maisim, her actions are mitzvahs and maisim taivim. Kishma kein hi. If you call her Nami, so the name reflects what she is. If she's such a pleasant person, then how could she have such a shreklecha einish? How could it be? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish somebody who's so pleasant? Like there's a sweet aroma that surrounds her, pleasant. And it must be Chas V'Shalom that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that Hashem slaps good people around. That's a Chilul Shem Shamayim. It's a Chilul Shem Shamayim for someone to have such a pleasant name, which gives the mistaken impression that everything she did was in order, and still she got such a shreklecha, awesome, terrible punishment. So her name change was in order to correct that impression. Don't think that I'm such a pleasant person and God punished me for no reason. There's a part of me that's bitter. I'm not 100%. There's a part of me that's bitter and I deserved every bit of it. So her purpose in changing her name was to affect the Kiddush Shem Shamayim. That's the Alshich. It's interesting because Rav Moshe David Vali takes note of the spelling of the word Mara in the Pasuk. It's normally spelled Mem Resh Hey. And here it's spelled Mem Resh Aleph, which is, it's a change to the way it's normally spelled. Why is it spelled with an Aleph? Because it's a remez that she is acknowledging that these things didn't just happen to her by coincidence. As if there's no plan or reason to the world, you know, bad things happening to good people because of coincidence, being in the wrong place. But it all comes from one source. Everything comes from one source, it comes from God. And the letter Aleph at the end signifies God because God is known as the One, the only One. And Aleph, the gematria of the letter Aleph is One. What? When Hey is used to represent Hashem's name, it's a different. It's a slightly different setting. Hey is also one because you have that one little foot there with surrounded by a dalad. So that's the four things, the four directions that emanate from one. But Aleph is one. Aleph is one the way it is. The name in the Pasuk is used as Shin Dalad Yud. Shin Dalad Yud is one of the names of God that represent His din. As you see, the dalad and the yud is there. So she's acknowledging that it comes from Midas HaDin. That's justice. It's not without rhyme or reason. It's just. Pasuk Habez.
Who says that last one?
That's Pasuk Pshat. Vatashav Nami Verusa Ma'eviya. And she returned Nami and Rusa Ma'eviya Kalasa, her daughter-in-law. There seems to be no limit to the amount of times that the pasuk is going out of its way to show you that it's her daughter-in-law. Ima, with her Ashava, she returned Mistei Mayav from the fields of Mayav. Behemabo, Beis Lachem, and they came to Beis Lachem, Betchilas Ktzir Sa'irim, at the beginning of the harvest of the barley, which we said before. It was the second day of Pesach, which is the beginning of the barley harvest. I skipped a pasuk. I'm sorry, pasuk hafalav. I'm very sorry. Pasuk hafalav. Ani maleo halachti. When I left Eretz Yisrael to go to Mayav, I was laden, I was full. I had a husband, I had children, we had wealth. Vareka meshivani Hashem, and Hashem returned me empty. Lama sekren li nami. Why should you call me nami? Hashem anabi. Hashem testified against me. His testimony. Vishadkai Herali. And Hashem dealt out his justice, and I fell. And I was granted an evil portion. Herali, evil. You'll notice that when she's talking about coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it uses the Shem Yudke Vavke. Because she saw that in her ability to return to Eretz Yisrael, she saw God's compassion. Yudke Vavke is the name of God that denotes his compassion.
He says that.
Pashup Shat. The Medrash, remember I told you a Medrash that the Nami was pregnant and she lost the baby. The Medrash, the source for the Medrash is this pasuk. Ani Malaya means I was full. So the Medrash says, you know, that's an interesting way of putting something. Ani Malaya, I was full. On this pasuk, that's where the Medrash gets its source that she was expecting a baby. Ani Malaya Halakhti. That not only did I have a husband and children, there was also a baby in the womb.
So what's with the shot before that? It had been 10 years.
It was. I mean, you know,
how long has it been since she left? I don't know the timeline.
Yeah, at least 10 years.
Okay.
We don't know exactly how long she was there before everyone started dying. It was at least 10 years afterwards. Hashem Anabi, Hashem testified against me. What does testimony mean? Rashi says that the punishment is testimony on Nami's evil acts, evil deeds. When one commits averus in private, so who bears testimony on those averus? No, you know, nobody knows them. You know, if the punishment that comes upon a person is testimony to the ma'asim harayim that were done away from the view of people. You see that someone got such a punishment, there must have been, you know, the Gemara says, Kal mechalal shem shemayim b'seser, anyone that's mechalal shem shemayim in private, mechalal nalav begoli, that his covet is going to be defiled and desecrated in public. Chil shem shemayim. The Alshik says, why is the name Shin Dal Yud used in this pasuk? Alshich. The name Shin Dal Yud represents justice, but it also has another. It's not actually. It has another facet to it. The sherish of the name Shin Dal Yud, like we said, is din, but it's also dai. And dai means enough. I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's justice is not Kadosh Baruch Hu's justice. Even a Kadosh Baruch Hu delivers or smites a blow of justice, it's always in an exact measure. There's no casualties from friendly fire or civilian casualties. It's a surgical strike. That's what Shindal Yud represents. Kadosh Baruch Hu took everything except for one thing. Except for her. Because die. The justice was measured with surgical precision. And she saw Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. People that went through the Churban, and I'm really not qualified to address this, and I'm not giving any explanations because I don't have any, but people that went through the Churban reacted in one of two ways. Someone that is Rahman al-Islam, yeah, the Churban of Europe. The Sheris Aplata, one who, Litzarenu, lost his entire family, and he's the only surviving member of his family. And there were many of those. That was the rule. Anyone that survived, to survive with the family members intact was rare. And there were two reactions. One was, how could God do such a thing? How could God take away innocent children? How could God take away tzaddikim, yisharim? And they turned away from God. Rahman Litzlan. And I have no response. No response to such a statement. I mean, there is one. I just don't have one. But there are those that they reacted in the other direction. Look at the anger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the din of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And despite the anger, the miracles that one member of the family survived, they saw the chesed in Hashem's din. We don't have answers, but they saw the chesed that you had. A large proportion, almost half of the Jewish people, in the power of someone that harnessed the entire might of his so-called civilized country and eradicating the entire people, anyone that escaped is because of Hashgacha Pratis. And this is what is meant by the usage of the Shem Shindal Yud in this pasuk. This is what Nami saw. Pasuk of Beis, we read already. Vatashav Nami Rusa Meviya Kalas Ima Shavim Mistei Mayav Veimu Boi Beis Lachem Betchilas Ktsir Sa'irim.
Calls her Ruth.
It calls her daughter-in-law.
And it calls her Hamoavia.
It calls her Hamoavia. So here she's a daughter-in-law and she's a Moabite. Does anybody know what the halacha is regarding reminding a convert of their origins?
God takes that as
a... Are you allowed to call Hamoavia to her face after she converts?
No.
Isn't that interesting?
She must not have converted yet.
But she's Kalasa. She's a daughter-in-law, she's a Mayavia. What is going on here? How do you have...
After the Sun, you're not allowed to.
No, after the Gerus, you're not allowed to.
Okay. In fact, she's not considered a Moabite. She's like a newborn baby.
There is none.
Yeah.
She has no country.
No, she's heirs and she's still called...
There's no heirs and she's a guy.
She was this guy already.
Okay, so she's not a Moabite. She's not a Moabite.
Okay.
Because she's newborn, as Chaim pointed out.
The word, the pasuk starts with the word Vatashav, and she returned. Vatashav, she was Pashup Shat, is that Nami returned, because Rus didn't return. This was her first trip to Eretz Yisrael. Is this your first visit to this country, sir, madam? Rus had never been there. Nami was returning. So Pashup Shat, as it says Vatashav, and she returned because of Nami. Rus wasn't returning. That's the Pashup Shat, but there's a commentary by the Igeres Shmuel. It's a Sefer on Rus. Igeres Shmuel.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
The Igeres Shmuel. That when it says she returned, it was referring to Rus, even though she had never been there before. Because Rus, went into it just with such a cheshek, with such a passion, as if she was born there. And the entire time that she was away in Mayav, she was pining away to return. So Shava is a state of mind that Rus felt as if she was finally returning home. I mean, this is an emotion which is felt by people that come to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, and they go to the Kaisel Maravi, and they feel like they're a child going back into the mother's embrace.
When was she in Eretz Yisrael?
Never. This is the first time. So that's the point. She felt as if she was returning. That's what I said. That's one shot in Vatasha.
In the Pasha Peshad, who is it talking about?
Nami.
Oh. That Nami returned, Nam?
Yeah, Nami returned. She was born there, she was raised there, she went away, she came back. Rus experienced the emotions of returning. The Yigar Shmuel quotes a Gemara in Yevamos, it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Rus was the first one from Amon Amayev that was Chayza B'tshuva. That's the Lashna Gemara. She was Chayza B'tshuva. Because Rus. Remember, we said Geirus is equated with being about tshuva. The process of a guy becoming Yid is coming back. Because Adam Arishon was born Jewish, when he ate from the Chet, so that was the creation of Goyim, and anyone that converts is going back to what Adam was before the Chet. So someone that converts to Judaism is coming back. That's about tshuva. Hey, Shalom Ben.
Okay, I tried chatting with you online one day. You went offline right after I
bounced. Yeah, so pull up a chair. Have a seat. We're in the middle of a shoe.
Sure. I mean, that's always. How you doing?
Yeah.
Sitting a shoe. You remember me so well.
Yep.
Got that on the mic?
Yep.
Awesome.
So the Gemara says because it wasn't clear what the halacha was, whether someone from Amon Amayev could convert. People from Amon Amayev were not allowed to convert. It was only the women folk that could convert. And that wasn't well known. It wasn't clear. So no one ever came. Because why should anybody convert to Judaism if no one's allowed to marry them?
There's more to the sentence.
I didn't know that. If no one's allowed to marry them, you know, they're going to convert, they're going to become Jewish, and they'll never be able to get married. So that's a deterrent if I ever saw one. Rus was also brought up in the murky depths of this indecision, you know. At the time when she converted, she had no idea if anyone would marry her. She didn't know. You couldn't have said about her that she got married she converted for the purpose of getting married, because no one had ever married an Amoni or Moyavi convert. There was no test balloon. You know, there was no test case.
Were they allowed to?
You know, when they sent up the first space module, they sent up a monkey. Why did they send up a monkey?
Because they're stupid enough to agree.
Yeah, because they want to make sure that the monkey goes out and comes back in. And Rus did it anyway. She didn't care. What? She was allowed. But she didn't know that.
Are Amon and Moab allowed to marry?
Women folk, the female members.
They are allowed.
Not the men.
But Levi, then, there's some problem because she's converted from Mary to marry Machlon.
Big problem. Yeah, I know.
Because if Machlon asked her,
big problem. But she was, I know, you're raising a big problem. Big problem. So Rus was Megayer, not knowing whether she's going to be accepted, whether anyone in Klal Yisrael was going to marry. And as we're going to see later on, that there was a relative named Ploni Almoni. He did not marry her. So she was, you know, and she still chose to join the Amonivkar, not knowing whether she's going to have a mate the rest of her life.
Crazy. Who does the announcement now?
The Malbim points out that it's noteworthy that it came in when the barley was being harvested, because when you come in at that time of year, you can't plant barley. You can't grow anything. It's not the time of growing things. It's anything that grew, and it's being harvested, and people take it, and they keep it. So then the only way that you could subsist is by begging. You can't get yourself a plot of land and plant some alfalfa sprouts or something. That grows pretty quick, you know. It's not the time. There's no rainfall. There's not the conditions aren't ripe. So they came in at the time of the barley harvest, which shows, you know, it sets the stage for the next step, that the only way for them to keep themselves alive is by begging from people that had planted.
What?
Let's go. You want to do another pasuk?
No.
Okay, we're doing
another
pasuk.
How many do we do so far?
Who knows?
Do we do five Parag, today?
Parag based pasuk aleph. Parag based pasuk aleph.
You test your test cock for a
big. Right. Well, Nami Maida, Nami had someone that Maida.
Is this new parag?
Yes, parag based pasuk aleph.
Nami had a relative.
What?
Well, Nami Maida, Nami had. A Maida literally means someone that she knew. Rashi says it means a relative. Nami Maida, Nami had a relative. The Isha of her husband. Ish, he was a man. Gibachayel, he was a. Gibachayel means he had strength, very strong. Mishpachas and a Melech from the family of Elish Melech. Ushmo Bayas. Rashi says that Bayas was actually Elimelech's nephew.
What's
his other name?
Ivtson. Ivtson.
Ivtson.
Why does it say that she
had a relative through her husband, and then from the family of Elimelech? Her husband was Elimelech.
Right.
So that's kind of like.
It's redundant.
Yes.
That's a good kasha. Very good kasha. So Rashi brings down from Chazal that.
You don't have an answer?
Not right away.
Before you answer, could you repeat it later on when we deal with that question? Because I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You have a ruling if you.
Elimelech had a brother named Salmon. And another brother, Ploni Almoni.
Who was his first brother?
Salmon, and yes. So Elimelech, Salmon, and Ploni Almoni. Ploni Almoni's name was Tov. Elimelech, Salmon, and Tov. And Nami's father was another brother. So Elimelech was the first cousin to his wife. And we don't have his name. And they were all the children of Nachshon ben Aminadab.
The children or the grandchildren?
Rashi says they were the children of Nachshon ben Aminadab. The word banim, you know, banim sometimes means descendants.
Well, but these were, I think, were children. Because I asked the Shiloh that, how did he live so long?
And Salmon was the father of Boaz. So
the great-great-great-grandfather of David. David's great-grandfather was Boaz. Boaz's grandfather was Nachshon ben Aminadab.
What was the last one you said? That
Salmon's son was Boaz.
That's crazy. I think he was alive.
So Boaz was Elimelech's nephew, and Ploni Almoni was Elimelech's brother. And they were related to Nami in two ways. From her husband and through herself, because her father was another brother. So to just start you off, the pasuk is telling you that the closeness that's being sought is not by virtue of her relationship to Boaz. It's the fact that her husband was also related to Boaz.
So that's the answer to my question.
Yes. Well, partial. Partial.
It says it twice. The first time it was because of the other way, and the second time was because she.
Even though, yeah. Well, it says twice that it was a relative of her husband, and he was from the family of Elimelech. No, it doesn't completely answer your question.
Doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No. Is
Nachshon alive at this time?
I don't know.
It's crazy. What year was 2.4? What year is this? What year is David?
2008.
No, 2008's way back when the.
Guys, it's 2008 right now.
I'm not talking about this.
Come on.
Alright, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.
What year was Boaz
and then
he was getting married?
Elimelech married his cousin or his nephew?
Elimelech married his.
Boom! Bookmark!